Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 8, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Well, Jesus is spreading the word of God everywhere he possibly can, spreading the good news, which is what the word of God is for those who will repent and adhere to it. 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to him of their substance. So these ladies were supporting the Lord's ministry financially. And the ministry of the word has to be supported by those who want to be a part of getting out the word of God, or it's not going to happen. God uses his people. He wants to use his people. Verse 4. And when many people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. And Jesus liked using illustrations to drive home spiritual truths, which is what a parable is. So here he goes. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Sowers or farmers would toss their seeds back and forth in a sweeping action. And so those seeds landed in many different types of soil. The one mentioned here was a path. So the soil was hard and the seeds just laid there until the birds came. 6, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It wasn't that it bounced off a rock, it's that the soil was rocky. Underneath there was a bedrock, maybe, you know, an inch or so of soil at the most, and then it was a bedrock. So it didn't last very long. The seed did not last. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it, because that's why you have to weed your garden, because if you don't, the weeds will take all the nutrients out of the soil and your crops won't grow. 8, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So one type of soil out of the 4 had everything. And so the good seed produced fruit. 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? So they were hungry for truth. And because they were hungry for truth, Jesus will give it to them. He doesn't force feed anybody, you know. If you don't want truth, then you won't pursue it and you won't get it. 10. And he said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Yeah, a lot of people just hear a parable and say, oh, that's a nice story, I'm going home. Or I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to go do that. They don't pursue it. But parables and the Word of God in general will trigger a taste for more truth in those who sincerely want it. You can't force it on someone. They either respond positively to the word of God that they hear or read, or they don't. And that's up to them. 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Some people just hear the word, but their hearts are hard. Their souls are hard, so it doesn't sink in. They're really not interested. And Satan quickly comes and distracts them from what they heard. 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Well, they hear the word of God, and they get excited, and it's all emotional. And so when their emotions are no longer positive because they're being persecuted, that's it. They turn away from the word. Just as fast as they accepted it and proclaimed it, they deny it. Because it's all about feelings with these people. 14, and that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. These people hear the word of God, but they're too busy with other things, way too many other things on their mind. So the word of God never really takes hold. 15, and then on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. These people have a heart for God, a heart for truth. And so they continue in it, and then it bears fruit, and then they get saved, and then they do good works, and they stay in the word. 16. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. The purpose of lighting a candle is to spread that light. 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hidden that shall not be known and come abroad. So the truth will eventually be revealed to all. And in the end, false doctrine will be exposed. And the truth that people rejected, so many rejected because they just didn't want it, will be staring them in the face, and they'll have to deal with it. 18, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. So very important for us to accept truth when we hear it and apply it. Because if we do that, then God's going to give us more truth. And that's how we grow in our walk with the Lord. If we don't apply the truth that we have, if we don't accept it, if we ignore it, then we're going to eventually lose that truth that we once understood. 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come to him for the press. There were so many people. Mary, his mother, and his brothers couldn't even get to him. 20. And it was told him by certain which said, your mother and your brethren stand outside desiring to see you. I think mom was concerned. The brothers may have been curious, or they thought he went off the deep end. 21. And he answered and said to them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. He wasn't putting down his mom, and he wasn't putting down his half-brothers. He was simply saying that if you belong to him spiritually, if you have received him as Lord and Savior, and you are in the word with him, and you try to live the word out of appreciation and love for him, then you're as close to him as any blood relative, closer in some cases. 22, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. Very important that you hear the word of God. What did Jesus say? Let's go over to the other side of this lake. That is the word of God. Does the word of God come to pass? Yes, it does. Should we believe the word of God? Yes, we should, because it does come to pass. That's faith. Faith is believing the word of God. Okay, verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Well, it was a dangerous situation, humanly speaking, because of this sudden storm. And the boat was filled with water, so it wasn't looking good. But they need to cling to the Word of God. Let's go to the other side. See? Then, although it could be a tense situation, understandably, they won't panic. 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Now, that was wrong. See, that goes against what he said. That goes against the Word of God. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. So, it was good that they awoke Jesus so that he could calm the storm. That part was good. It was wrong for them to say, we're perishing, we're going to die, we're not going to make it, because that contradicted the Word of God. It's good to call on God and pray for him, pray to him, that he would fulfill his word. That's what we need to do. That's what prayers should be based on, his word. So they should have woke Jesus up and they should have said, Jesus, you said that we're going to make it to the other side. Please get up and do something so that we will. Now, that would have been a good prayer, because prayer based on the Word of God is good prayer. But he's not going to be too happy with them. 25, he said to them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. He was upset with them because they didn't believe his word. They didn't believe the Word of God. And God doesn't like it when we don't believe his word. 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. So they made it to the other side, in spite of the storm, in spite of their lack of faith. So much for this idea that God's hands are tied when we don't have faith. If that was the case, they never would have made it to the other side. God's hands aren't tied by anything. And he acts on his word, whether people believe it or not. 27, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, and neither abode in any house but in the tombs. This poor man, running around in the cemetery, naked, couldn't function in society because he was under the control of demons, and he was just wild like they are. 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High? I beseech you, torment me not. This guy didn't know who Jesus was, but the demons inside of him did. And are afraid. Demons are afraid of Jesus. He's their Lord. He's their boss. He's the one who's going to send them to hell. 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. The demon just was plummeting this guy, abusing him from the inside out. 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Now, a legion is about 6,826 Roman soldiers. I don't know if there were over 6,000 demons in this man, but if there were, Lord help him. That must have been a nightmare. One demon would be enough to make your life a nightmare if he's inside of you. But a multitude? Wow. No wonder he was just a crazy man. Tormented. 31, and they, the demons, besought Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the deep, into the abyss. They hate the abyss because it's like a prison. 32, and there were there There was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would permit them to enter into them, and he permitted them. See, demons want to be in something. They really can't do their dirty work unless they are inside of a body of some sort. And it doesn't matter if it's human or animal. And so they want to go into these pigs instead of being locked up in the prison. 33. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place, into the lake and were choked. The pigs killed themselves. They'd rather be dead than be possessed by demons. That tells you how bad demons are, that a pig can't even stand them. 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. So those who were in charge, the swine herds, those who were in charge of taking care of the pigs for their owner, when they saw that their pigs were dead and what and how it happened, they ran into town. They probably think they're in big trouble. 35. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils departed, sitting at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They should have been happy. Be afraid because you're in the presence, obviously, of God. That's true, but it should say that they were also very happy for the man who got his life back. 36, they also which saw it told by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. So the swineherds, they witnessed everything. They saw Jesus cast demons out of this man and into the pigs. 37, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. They told Jesus to leave. They didn't want him around. And he left. And that's what he always does. You don't want Jesus in your life? That's fine. More the pity, as far as you're concerned. But he'll honor your wish. You want to die and go to hell? That's your business. Go ahead. 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, now, it's understandable. A man who had just had his life restored, he was so grateful, he didn't want to leave the presence of Jesus. He wanted to go with him and minister with him. But Jesus had other plans. 39, return to your own house and show how great things God has done to you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him. It wasn't his first choice to go back to his hometown and proclaim Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus. But that wasn't the Lord's will. And when he found out what the Lord's will was, even though it wasn't his first choice, he did it. We need to shine right where we are, spiritually speaking. Maybe it's not our first choice, but we need to proclaim Jesus and live for Jesus and be used by Jesus right where we are, right now. Maybe you wish you could do other things for the Lord, but you can't. Then do what you can, where you can do it, and trust that it's God's will. If he wants the doors to open up for you to do something else, somewhere else, then they will open up. 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They couldn't wait for him to get back home to the other side of the lake. You know, the people drove him out of the area of the Gadarenes. They didn't want him. But the people on the other side wanted him. And that's the way it goes. That's why it doesn't pay to try to force yourself and force the word of God on someone who doesn't want it. Just, you know what? Go somewhere else and talk to someone else. Proclaim the word of God to someone else. Somebody wants it. And if this person doesn't want it, That's their business. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Just go try somebody else and keep doing it till you find somebody who wants it. 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. So Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, means he was a big shot. He was a leader of the Jews, which makes it pretty amazing that he would come and kneel at our Lord's feet. Because as a rule, the religious leaders hated Jesus. And he kind of went against his fellow Jews to do this. But he didn't care because he was desperate. 42. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So Jesus was willing to come and heal the little girl. He said, "Will you come to my house?" Jesus said, "Okay." But he was being slowed down by this big crowd. 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. You talk about desperation. Here's a desperate woman. Another desperate person. The man was desperate. Jairus was desperate. And she is desperate because she's at her wit's end. She's sick. She's got a flow of blood, which really, according to the law, should have kept her from being out in public. But again, she was desperate. She didn't care. She knew her only hope was Jesus because she didn't have any money left. She spent it all on doctors. They couldn't help her. There's only so much that a doctor can do. God bless doctors because God works through them. Not most of the time, God heals through doctors by his providence, and I thank God for that. But in this case, it wasn't good enough. Verse 44. It says that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. And she was superstitious. So this was a common superstition. I think I've mentioned this, that people that back then believed that if you would touch the garment of a holy man, that you would be blessed by God. It would flow through that. Actually, it didn't have anything to do with God. And in a lot of people's minds, it was superstition. You touched their garment, and whatever they had to give would flow into you. So her faith is at best a mixed bag. 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, everybody denied. And everybody was lying too. Because everybody was touching him. We're not touching you. Oh, really? Peter knew better. Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng you and press you, and you say, 'You, who touched me?' Everybody's touching you, Lord." And people were afraid. So they said, "Well, no, we didn't touch you. I didn't touch you." Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." He felt healing power slide out of him when that woman touched him. Because although her faith wasn't perfect, there was some faith there. And that touch of hers was, you could compare it to a prayer, a nonverbal prayer. And Jesus answered it. 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And I think she was afraid, because perhaps she was afraid that Jesus was going to take back the healing because she had broken the letter of the law to come into public when she was bleeding and to actually touch someone when she was bleeding, because both of those were against the Old Testament law. Probably afraid Jesus is going to say, "You went about it the wrong way, lady. I'm taking my healing back." But she was honest. 48. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." So instead of rebuking her, he blessed her. 49. And while he yet spoke, there comes one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master, it's too late." Poor Jairus' heart must have sunk. 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Don't listen to these people. Listen to the word of God. Jairus, listen to the word of God and be encouraged. The word of God trumps anything that anybody else might say, no matter how sure those persons may be that what they're saying is true. So Jesus encourages this man. 51. And when he came into the house, he permitted no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. Wanted to keep the group small. Nobody else's business, honestly. 52. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleeps." Well, she was dead. But Jesus said, "She's just sleeping," because he knew her death would be temporary, as if she was sleeping, literally. 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. You can tell the difference between someone who's sleeping and someone's dead. Have you ever seen a dead person in person? 54. He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." He called back her soul from paradise. 35. And her spirit came again, and she rose immediately, and he commanded to give her meat. Feed her. I brought her back from the dead. Now you sustain her life by taking care of her. But she came back as soon as Jesus called. That's the power that Jesus has. He controls life. He controls our soul. He's the one who tells our soul to depart from our body. He holds the keys to death, the Bible says. And he's also the one that will cause our spirits, our soul, to return to our body. Just like he did with this little girl. It's going to happen to everybody on Resurrection Day. He's going to call all of our souls back into our bodies. And we will be raised never to die again. 56. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Because he didn't want people coming to him primarily to see amazing miracles. He wanted people to come to him with a hunger for the word of God. And the miracles, although he was compassionate, and he did it because he was compassionate, and he did it as a sign that he was the Messiah to back his words, but they were never to be front and center. His words were to be the most important thing. And the word of God is still the important thing today. So when you see a ministry promoting so-called a miracle ministry that is totally foreign to the word of God and to how Jesus operated, and I wouldn't go near them. I certainly wouldn't give them any money. They're a bunch of charlatans, opportunists, taking advantage of people who are sick.